We have one of our favorite folks is here. He's a meteorologist at the National Weather Service, Kerry Jones. We just love having you in the studio. Welcome back.
Good morning, Katie. Anytime I can talk weather is a good day.
And you were telling us in the studio you started this career of being a meteorologist when?
My earliest recollection, maybe 7 or 8, it was thunderstorms for me, lightning. I still, to this day, have a very real fear of lightning. I mean, which is probably a good thing, I would say. But I mean, really, I get sweats. It's not necessarily a good thing, but
we have a neighbor in our neighborhood who died from a lightning strike. So I'm telling you, it's real. It's real.
This year?
No, it was many years ago, but it's the like neighborhood legend.
By the way, no lightning fatalities in the state this season, which is wonderful. So we're getting the words out. My son and I were camping in the Hamas, maybe 3 weeks ago, and lightning struck 15 miles. That's 1-5. That's basically from where we're sitting to the top of Sandia Peak.
Okay.
Where lightning struck from well away from where the rain was. And that's always a concern, is that lightning doesn't, you don't have to be getting wet to be obviously, in the range of a lightning bolt. So we always say when thunder roars, go indoors. And that's a good little piece of advice that could certainly save your life, if not others. So, yeah.
So, Kerry, you start a career out of fear of lightning and thunder, yeah. and it made you curious, I suppose.
Lightning's fun!
Yeah, I think weather, I mean, for me, I've always enjoyed science and math, both. But for me, weather, you walk outside and it's the laboratory. So what we study in school in terms of things like condensation, thunderstorm development, you go outside and you observe it in real time, And so for me, I think that's what really attracted me because I could always, if you had questions or you'd read a book, and I read lots of books, especially on like tornadoes, you would go out and actually witness it.
That's really neat. I guess it's a simple question. What does a meteorologist actually do?
We're atmospheric science. And so we study weather patterns, and we learn through, there's a lot of physics involved, a lot of math. I mean, the equations that govern the atmosphere and how it behaves, it's very complex. And so we learn about that, and we learn how to predict. I mean, predicting the future is tough, right? But it's more than just looking out the window and saying, oh, there's clouds, it's partly cloudy today. It's more of understanding a lot of the numerical models that we use. And, today when we do forecasting, 3 to 5 days out, it's as good as it was, 10 years ago, just in the first, 2 or 3 days. And so we've made some pretty good advances. So there's a lot to it. So a meteorologist studies weather and predicts weather.
Cool. Okay. So Kaya's got a question for you.
There have been 16 straight months of hotter temperatures than normal. Is that the high temps or low temps?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we talk about especially monthly temperatures or average temperatures or even a daily average for Albuquerque, we're talking about highs and lows or the max and min. So typically our max temperatures occur what time of day? Afternoon, right? And our nighttime lows are typically right at or just after sunrise. So we take those two numbers, we average those together, then we look at trends, either for, say, a week or, as you mentioned, a month. And you're correct. So the last 16 months, so over a year, if we take those daily average temperatures and then average them over an entire month, that's what we're referring to.
What about high temperatures around the planet?
Well, that's another great question. Of course, July, you may have heard about. July, so last month, was the warmest month on record globally. And those records go back to 1880, I believe. Now, the thing is, when we talk about the global average temperature, so we're taking those average temperatures and looking at it in a global perspective, there are areas on the globe where it wasn't the warmest, right? And in fact, there's some areas where we think it was actually the coolest. But when you look at all those numbers spread out across the globe and you average those out, it turned out to be the warmest month on record. I mean, let that sink in.
Why is it so hot?
That's the question that I wish we all knew an answer to. So in Albuquerque, we track 100-degree days, right? It felt hot, and in fact, July was quite hot. We had 5 days, at least at the airport, where we were at 100 degrees or hotter. Now, obviously, in the valley where many of you may live, it's hotter than the airport, right? So it probably felt even hotter. But we had a 100-degree day in late July. Having 100-degree days in late July is pretty rare,
and
pretty
extreme. And it was harsh on the tomatoes, I'll just point out, as a gardener.
And in some cases, it wiped them out.
Well, it kind of fried the little flowers, and it made them, it was very hard. That's incredible.
But if we look back, here's the thing. When we talk about extremes, and we look at these numbers, there's only been two other years, I think 1995 and 2014, where we've had a 100-degree temperature that late in July.
Wow.
So, you know, we talk about extremes, all that, you know, you hear about the flooding in Louisiana. The extreme events, I think without question, we're just seeing more of them.
There are big floods in the southern U.S. and in other parts of the world. Should we expect floods someday too?
We, you know, our monsoon has been, I mean, it's been nicknamed Spotsoon because it's, some areas have done pretty well, others not so much. We do have, I mean, of course, when we have the rain, the heavy rain in Albuquerque, what happens to the arroyos? Do we have floods?
Yeah.
Yes. And in fact, I was up near Alcalde, which is north of Española, this past week. Tremendous rainfall. They had probably 4 to 5 inches in that small area, and they had tremendous flooding. And so do we experience flooding? Yes. Do we experience it on a scale of what they had in Louisiana? No, because those areas in Louisiana had nearly 3 feet of rain.
That's insane.
And that's over about, you know, 3 or 4 days.
The National Weather Service hasn't taken a position on global warming as being a creation of humans. But can we say this is what we predicted a while ago,
sure,
is that temperatures are going to rise. And even if they rise 1 or 2 degrees globally,
right,
can we say that's already happened? Did they rise 1 or 2? We don't know because it was just
I mean, I think it's clear that we're living in a changing climate. And I think these extreme events are increasing. And that's the reality.
We're speaking with Kerry Jones. He's a meteorologist with the National Weather Service here in Albuquerque. Lots of questions here in the studio about the weather and what's going on. And always glad to have you with us. Julia, take it away.
Why is there condensation on our cars in the mornings?
That's a very good question as well. Water, by the way, water is the only natural substance that can exist in 3 different ways. One of those ways, water vapor. And this time of year, of course, in August, we feel humidity. That's what gives us our clouds and our thunderstorms some days. Now, some days that humidity is higher than others, but as we get later in the season, we've noticed that our daytimes are shorter now than our nighttime. So we're waking up. The sun isn't quite as high up as it once was just a short month ago. So we're getting cooler. And when our mornings are cooler, the water vapor that's in the air condenses and forms dew. And that typically, you know, on rooftops, cars, metal especially, because that obviously is the coldest surface. But it's the same if you take a cold glass of ice water, you know, outside on the porch or wherever, you'll notice little droplets that form on the outside. It's the same process. And that's why we're just getting later in the season. So I've noticed it at my house. Now, it's not precipitation. And so that's oftentimes if you get a real heavy dew and you have a rain gauge, it actually may accumulate to maybe 1/100 of an inch, but it's not precipitation. It's just water vapor that condenses.
Hmm. Do we report that in our cocoa raz? And
no,
you can speak briefly about cocoa raz.
Yes.
Cocoa raz, cocorahs.
Yes.
.org is the way that you, all of you listening in listener land, can be part of the team with Kerry Jones, helping determine the weather and getting statistics from all over, wherever you are. Worldwide, is cocoa raz?
Well, it's not quite worldwide, no, but it has expanded into Mexico and Canada. I would also point out that there's a new initiative just this year to get it into schools. And so, man, what a great group of ambassadors.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. So,
and I mean, all it takes is having a rain gauge in your yard.
Right.
And then every day you go and report, mostly in New Mexico, you report zero every single day.
Zero is data.
Zero is data. But, you know, this week it's been pretty fun to report 0.25, 0.33. It's been a good week.
Yeah, and we have over 200 volunteers in the metro. And when you look at the variability of precip this summer, it is crazy on how literally 1 or 2 miles makes a huge difference.
It is crazy.
And we see it every year. But the more volunteers we get, the crazier it looks, honestly, when you look at the numbers. So.
Well, this is kind of a story, but we had a mug outside in our yard,
it was out for a couple of days, and almost, well, I think there was like two or three thunderstorms, and the mug, it was like that big, and it was almost all the way full.
This is the joy of Coco Raz, is that you get to see your little rain gauge fill up, and it's so fun, and it has a measurement so that you can know, like, oh my gosh, we got 0.5. And Carrie, really briefly, did this monsoon crack us out of our drought in any way?
No, unfortunately. In fact, at the airport, in fact, I have some numbers here. We're still almost 3 inches below where we should be for the year to date, and we're below average for the monsoon. Now, that said, you know, last year and actually the previous three Julys have been really pretty good for us, and it wasn't this year. Mm. But August, you know, it looks like a pretty wet stretch here the next 3 days. So maybe, of course, this is our final days of August. But if we get another 1400s, we'll be above an inch for August. And that's the only, like, I think there's only been two other Augusts going way back to like 2000.
Wow.
So August has not been a real good month for us.
Mm.
This year is better.
Do you have any snowy weather predictions for winter?
Oh, snowy weather predictions. Well, we know that El Nino is gone officially. There are signs that we think in the modeling that we're going to transition, in fact, that it's already underway, to a weak La Nina, or sometimes what we call the cool side of neutral. And so that's kind of what we see going into the fall and this early part of winter. And for New Mexico, the signal is not great. Odds are not in our favor for abundant precipitation when we have even weak La Nina, but the stronger the La Nina, the more signal is enhanced.
Since it's a La Nina here, does that mean is it different on the other side of the world, like in Europe and...
Or India?
India.
As far as the correlations?
Yeah. So like if we get a La Nina, do they get an El Nino?
Are they going to get
snow? No. It's a global pattern, so, and it's in the tropical Pacific. So when we're in a La Nina pattern, we know the correlation for New Mexico is odds are tilted towards drier than average precipitation. But other parts of the country, in fact, the Northwest, it's just the opposite. So it's not that you have El Nino in another part of the globe, but the weather impacts or what results from that La Nina pattern can be vastly different. So there are areas that can be very wet during a La Nina.
Carrie Jones is with the National Weather Service Albuquerque. You can join his team of scientists by joining the Coco Raz team, COCORAHS.org. Carrie Jones, folks who want to follow along with the weather and beat the weatherman on TV or weatherwoman on TV, how do we find more info directly from you all at the National Weather Service here in Albuquerque? Should we follow you on Twitter or Facebook?
Well, we are. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and of course our website. I would just, if you go to our website, which is weather.gov, click on New Mexico. All the social media links are right there on the front page.
And lots more data too. You can look at maps and you can look at wind. I mean, it's just so neat, all the stuff you all collect and the beautiful graphics you put up to explain. It's more complicated than we realize. And, you know, the other thing that I always remember when you come up here is sort of like neuroscience. Believe it or not, we don't understand everything about the weather. There's still a lot left to learn that is unknown for future generations of meteorologists. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And that's very well stated. There's so much opportunity.
We need kids to become meteorologists at some point. And certainly you can start that right away. Go to cocoraz.org and you can be on that team and weather.gov and find Albuquerque or wherever you're listening from. Every region has their own National Weather Service branch and their own Carrie Joneses, but maybe not as cool. Carrie, always glad to have you with us on the show. Thank you so much.
Stay safe, everyone.